Well, greetings, friends, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we're here every weekday at this time to talk things over with you. And to do that, we want you to call 844-322-2742. We want to know what's on your mind, what's on your heart today. Is it a Bible passage, maybe an issue with a family member, a friend, maybe something at school or at work? Well, whatever the situation, whatever the circumstance, if you'd like to talk about it, well, that's why we're here. So give us a call at 844-322-2742, and that's good, of course, in the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742. Call now, because it is Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thank you, Bob. It's good to be with you. Good to be with our listeners today. We're talking about religion and the limitations of religion and the things that religion cannot provide for us. And when I say religion, I'm talking about the man-made stuff. I'm talking about the stuff that we invent. That's the religion I'm using. That's how I'm using that particular word. Paul talks about that in Colossians, a man-made religion. Jesus talked about the Pharisees giving in to human tradition and neglecting the very word of God. So when we talk about religion, that's the context. That's what we're talking about. And so that type of religion, man-made religion, can't provide the things that we actually need. So we talked about rest, eternal rest, Sabbath rest on Monday. Well, religion makes us restless. It's only the grace of God that can give rest to the soul. That's why Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your soul." We talked about on Tuesday forgiveness. Andrew led us through that. Religion can't bring about forgiveness. Now, I lived many years of my Christian life trying to do everything I knew to do to bring about God's forgiveness. And I never felt forgiven. I never had any confidence or any assurance that my sins were forgiven. So I walked on spiritual eggshells, just waiting for the shoe to fall, that punishment to come into my life. Well, I had to let go of that, to let go of all those religious practices and rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And that's when I knew that I knew that I knew that my sins had been forgiven once and for all. And then yesterday we talked about a clean conscience. Religion can't cleanse the conscience. It just is stuck on the outside, just trying to clean up the outside. It doesn't really care about what's going on the inside. And today we're going to look at this idea of righteousness. The Pharisees believed that they were righteous through their religious practices, through their Judaism. But Jesus said this about them, "For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of God." So what did Jesus say about the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees? That it wasn't enough. That it wasn't enough to grant them entry into the kingdom of God. Now, Paul would have fit into that category, the scribes and the Pharisees. Yeah. And this is what he said: "For we are the real circumcision, who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus, and put no confidence in the flesh." So what does religion do? Religion puts confidence in the flesh. Right. That's exactly the nature of religion. So Paul says that's the true circumcision. Those are the true believers. And then he says, "But though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he has reasons for confidence in the flesh, I have more." Yeah. So put up Paul's religious resume against anybody else's. He's going to win hands down. That's what he's saying here. And he says, "I was circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness." Listen to this. He said, "Under the law, blameless." So he had a pretty good resume to be able to say, as far as righteousness is concerned, under the law, that he was blameless. But that wasn't enough. That wasn't enough to grant him entry into the kingdom of God. He had to meet Jesus. And as he says, but whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. That righteousness that he felt that he had under the law, he counted as loss. And he goes on to say, for his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. Mm-hmm. So religious effort, religious works, all of those things, they look good on the outside, but they cannot deliver what we hope that they will deliver, and they cannot make us righteous. And that's exactly what Paul discovered, that his righteousness that he thought he had under the law was nothing more than filthy rags. And so he counted that as loss for the sake of knowing Christ, so that he could be found in him, not having a righteousness of his own, but the righteousness that comes through faith in Christ, a righteousness from God. Only the gospel of Jesus Christ reveals that righteousness from God. Yeah. And only through faith in Jesus Christ do we experience that righteousness. Are we made righteous? He who knew no sin became sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So if you are depending upon your religious efforts, your man-made efforts, your human effort to declare or to make yourself righteous in the sight of God, let it go, because it's not going to grant you entry into the kingdom of God. You need a righteousness that exceeds that which you could produce on your own. You need the righteousness that comes from God, and that is only available by grace through faith in Jesus.
Indeed. Thank you for those thoughts, Bob. And friends, if you're just joining us, welcome aboard. Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad you're with us. We would love to hear from you at 844-322-2742. That, of course, is a toll-free call in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Lines are open right now. We await your calls. And friends, remember, it's only because you give that others across North America and literally around the world through the Internet might hear, believe, and live in the grace of Jesus Christ. Please log on to BasicGospel.net as soon as you can and help us with a donation to help Basic Gospel keep this good news coming. And when you make that happen, of course, we want to remind you to be sure to request your copy of Andrew Farley's excellent book called God Without Religion. It's our way of saying thank you for your gift of support for the message of grace that you hear each day on Basic Gospel. You can make your gift now or anytime at BasicGospel.net. Again, just click Donate at BasicGospel.net. Well, again, that number, 844-322-2742. Give us a call if you have something on your mind, on your heart. We want to hear from you, 844-322-2742. And, Bob, overnight we got this call from Robert.
Hello, brothers, Bob and Andrew as well. I'm so happy that Andrew can be taken over. I really enjoy his understanding of the gospel and everything. But this is Robert up in Columbia, Missouri, and it's my first time calling in. And I want to say I really appreciate your all's ministry so much. It really helps me out so much. And I enjoy donating where I can and everything. I wish I could be joining their conference in Texas, but I'm not able to at this time. But my question is concerning Paul and the churches that he established throughout his life. And it always seems like false apostles would come in, especially in Galatia. How is it with the power that the Apostle Paul had given to him by Jesus Christ directly through revelation, how is it that the Lord would allow Satan to infiltrate his churches? Appreciate an answer for that. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Gosh, that is certainly a question above my pay grade, and I think it's above any person's pay grade. You know, that gets down to the sovereignty of God. Bob, I was reading the Genesis story of creation and then the fall of mankind to a men's group earlier this week, And you think about it, and you know, you have this perfect creation, you have this perfect scenario, this perfect place, the Garden of Eden, and Adam and Eve are just perfect. God declared them to be good. God is there with them. Everything is just exactly the way God intended it to be.
Yeah.
And then you get into Genesis 3, and there's that tree in the middle of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And lo and behold, standing right next to it is this serpent who is cunning and deceitful. And you think, how in the world did he get into that place? How did he infiltrate the Garden of Eden? Well, only because in God's sovereignty, he allowed that to happen. And why? I mean, like I said, that's something that God's going to have to reveal to us at some point in the future when all things are made known to us. But it happened.
Yes.
And it happened back then. And Satan has been doing his handiwork throughout human history, trying to capture humanity, trying to capture humankind by his lies, by his deceit. And one of his key allies in that battle plan are false prophets, false religious prophets, false teachers. They have been among us since the beginning. They're going to be among us until the Lord comes back. Why? How do they get in? They sneak in a back way, as Jesus was talking about shepherds and those sort of things. You know, the true shepherd, you know, enters by the one gate. Yeah. The hirelings, they come in a different way, and they come in with their own agenda, with their own purposes, trying to lure away the folks and be in control of them. Well, that's what Satan was trying to do back in the garden. That's what these false teachers are doing. So as long as humankind exists in this particular realm, in this world, which is under the control of Satan, we're going to see false prophets. Yeah. And we have to recognize what Jesus said to his disciples. If you abide in my word, you're going to know the truth, and the truth is going to set you free. Set you free from what? Well, the lies and deception of the world, the lies and deception of Satan himself. That's what bound Adam and Eve in the garden. They believed the lies of Satan. They believed them so much, they decided to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And in that moment, they chose death over life. And they died spiritually, plunging all of mankind into that spiritual death. And Jesus, through the truth of who he is, he's the ultimate reality. He is the ultimate life. When we recognize him as the way, the truth, and the life, then we're set free from those lies. We're set free from the power of sin and death, and we're raised to walk in the newness of life. That's the power of truth.
Yeah.
So as long as truth is being proclaimed in this world of darkness, lies are going to follow. And that's just the way it's been since the beginning. That's the way it's going to be all the way until Christ comes back and puts an end to this old world, and out of it creates new heavens and new earth. And it's just going to be ruled by grace and truth forever and ever and ever.
And that is a great thing. It's a graceful thing, Bob.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Thanks for that answer. And Robert, hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you. Don't hesitate to reach out again if you have further questions. 844-322-2742. Give us a call, friends. We want you to be a part of this edition of Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you again. And Bob from Matt in Janesville, Iowa, a nice message. He says, thank you for your program and your ministry, both a major encouragement to me. He says, I have a question about the common teaching that God presently judges nations, presumably for their collective sin or disobedience. As I read passages such as John 3:17 and 18, it describes a judgment that is based on our individual faith and belief in Christ. My question then becomes, how can God judge a nation that certainly includes Christians who are not under judgment because of their faith in Christ? How does the new covenant change the way God deals with nations as well as individuals? Thank you for your great work. That's from Matt in Iowa.
Well, I think it gets back to kind of the real issue at hand. And the real issue at hand is sin and death. And it affects us individually. And so we have to be individually saved. And that's the good news. There are many today trying to put the problems of the world on a systemic level, on a corporate level. And so if the problems are there, then the answers and solutions are different. We have to change the system. We have to change the program, so to speak. And that neglects individual sin. It neglects the fact that each person born into this world is born into this world dead in trespasses and sins.
Right.
So the truth of the gospel touches us individually and saves us individually and then adds us to a body of believers. It adds us to the body of Christ. That was the mystery that was imparted to the apostles, this mystery of the body, that we're going to stand together as one, Jew and Gentile together, in Christ. So we're saved individually, we're added to the body, and God is working through that body of believers today and has been for 2,000 years. Now, how does that affect nations? Well, there should be influence from the body of Christ on nations all across this planet. And sometimes we see that influence at a very good level, and it's kind of changing the direction of countries and that sort of thing. Other times we see the church, the body of Christ, trying to bend itself to fit with culture. Instead of trying to bend culture to fit with us, mm-hmm. we're trying to bend us to fit with culture. So yeah. we're going at it wrongly. But as far as nations are concerned, I think what we saw, like with the nation of Israel, when they chose to bow the knee to foreign gods, consequences were baked into that choice.
Yes.
So you can't just make a choice to turn your back on God and not expect to experience just good and positive things. No, sin has consequences built into it. And I think we see that as far as nations are concerned as well. When nations turn their back on what's revealed to them about God and moves down a pathway of Satan's lies and deceptions and that sort of thing, there's consequences built into that that we experience on a national level.
Do you have a nation in particular?
Every single one of them. I mean, you can look at every single one of them. I mean, you see what's happening in communist countries. You see the moral decline going on here in the United States of America. Well, what is the answer to that? Well, I think the answer to that is for the church to flex its muscles.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
Continue to stand for truth, continue to stand for the good news of Jesus Christ, to keep in step with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I think when we do, we can see our influence starting to gain some momentum out there in the world. But I think what we're seeing in America is because the church has become complacent and is satisfied to make itself look a little like the culture.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Unfortunately, yeah. Indeed.
Yeah. Do you know what today is? Besides Thursday?
It is Thursday, all day long.
All day long. It also is 1 week till the conference starts. Talk to us about it.
Well, that's right. The conference actually starts next Friday, October 15th, and we are very excited about that.
Yeah.
We have folks from all over the country coming in, Hawaii, California, Arizona, up in New England and Delaware and all around the Southwest. So you're going to be able to meet people from all over this country, like-minded believers. If you want to come and experience kind of the grace of God, just an immersion into the grace of God, to see the big picture, to get all your questions answered, and to see where you are in the big scope of things, and how you're connected to one another, and to experience the love of God in a really powerful and unique way.
Yeah.
I encourage you to come and join us next Friday, October 15th through the 17th. So we're going to start. Andrew and I will be sharing the teaching duties that particular day. Bob Davis is going to be emceeing and leading us through. You're going to see the staff. We're just going to have a fantastic time of celebrating the grace of God, celebrating the love of God, and experiencing it together. So if you can come, come and join us. There's still room available. All the information on how to register and be a part of this life-changing event is online at basicgospel.net.
It is indeed, and I was wrong. It's 1 week and 1 day until the conference starts. Yeah, it's going to be kind of a sentimental thing. And on a personal note for Bob and me, as we've said before, and for Basic Gospel itself, at the end of the year, this ministry will unite with Andrew Farley as he carries the torch of God's grace forward into the new year. So, folks, we want you to be there and see us and allow us to see you during this final conference under the Basic Gospel banner. And so if you'll log on to basicgospel.net/united, get registered. We just really want you to be there.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. It's well, it's going to be a barn burner, as down south.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, in the meantime, from Taylor, Texas, a message from Harold. He says, Scripture teaches us to love our enemies. I've told my enemies that I love them, shown them kindness, helped them physically, emotionally, and spiritually, yet those who have hurt me and my family continue to want to ignore any moves toward being honest with themselves or myself and my family. I want so much for my enemy to know Christ, but I know I am powerless and only Christ can convict them. I'm now to a point that I really want to disconnect. I could really use some counsel on this.
Well, that's a great question, Harold, and I think all of us run into that type of situation. I think when Jesus said and he was specifically speaking to the nation of Israel to love their enemies, because he knew something that the gospel was going to bring about, and the gospel was going to bring about a new man, where there was neither Jew or Gentile, but both would become one in Christ. Mm-hmm. So I think he was preparing their hearts for what was up ahead, because, you know, in light of the gospel and receiving the gospel, you're going to stand shoulder to shoulder with others who you once were standing against and stood against you. So I think that's a reality. But as far as trying to be reconciled with people who've done things to harm you, you can do all that you can to be at peace with them. But in the long run, it takes two.
Yes, it does.
And so at some point, you just say, I've done everything that I can do. It is bigger than me. And so if God wants us to be reconciled and us to love one another in a way that only he can do, I'm going to leave that in his hands to bring about.
Harold, great to hear from you, and hope that's a help to you. If you have further questions, as I've said earlier, don't hesitate to reach out. We loved hearing from you, and from Matt and from Robert and from all of those of you who contact Basic Gospel and reach out to us. We're glad that you put that confidence in us as we go into the Word of God, for all the confidence that it provides to us, as a matter of fact, here at Basic Gospel. Well, that's it for today, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your cordial invitation to join us again tomorrow for Basic Gospel. And we hope if you have a question, you'll get on that phone, give us a call, be a part of the live edition. That's tomorrow on Basic Gospel. See you then. Bye-bye.